Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. This is your boy, the coach from the WWE. I would like to welcome you to the very first wrestling podcast in the world to take you on a weekly deep dive in the classic matches along with legends of the squared circle. Enjoy the discussion. Enjoy the back and forth. There's so much to get into. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Payoff.
Welcome to an all-new episode of The Payoff. I'm Tom. That's Jeff. Jeff, how the hell are you doing?
Boy, it's just it's a good time in wrestling. I know, what other way to put it? You know, where we're just, unfortunately, the road to Mania is long behind us.
I meant to ask you about that. I've been so busy. I haven't had a chance to watch WrestleMania yet. Did Cody finish the story?
I heard he did. Yeah, I think there was something. I think a few people showed up to help him. We'll talk about it. Some of the people in this match, actually. So, we got a little bit to talk about today. It's all right.
So, I actually have a funny. Obviously, I'm kidding. I do have a funny story about it. That I ran into a buddy last night, and he's like, "Man, he's like WrestleMania was rough. I got food poisoning like right on Sunday, right before it started, or the stomach flu or something, right?" And he's like, I threw up probably 30 times during the show, but because Peacock, I could hit pause, but if you pause it too long, then it like kicks you out. Then you can't go back to where you were. He's like, I basically had to let it keep playing. I'm just throwing up. Then like there was like a match I didn't care about. So I was just like, I just laid on the floor in the bathroom during that. But the funny part was he said he was in his kitchen throwing up in the kitchen sink during the main event. And he's like, yeah, I was like kind of like hunched over the sink, and then fucking Undertaker's music plays. And I'm like, what the hell? But he's like, you didn't see it. I was like, oh, you poor guy.
Hey, everybody has a WrestleMania story to tell, and apparently that was his. So
yeah, I know,
just crazy. But yeah,
but his kid was on the couch watching it, and he's glad his kid was into wrestling, so that's good. I tried to get mine into it. They're still a little bit young, but we'll keep plugging away at it. But we'll talk more about it. But I did have a hell of a time watching it too. So
yeah,
all right. Why did you pick this match?
Yeah, so this was Backlash, you know, being this last weekend. You know, I think that this was just one match that I really wanted to kind of cover. I didn't have a ton of Backlash matches this year. There are a lot of really good Backlash matches out there, but I had some other kind of ones that I wanted to cover just over the years and stuff like that, that I wanted to make sure we were getting to just this time of year. And anymore, we kind of plan, like, what if a match happened in May, we're kind of watching it in May. And so this was one that, yeah, there was just so much to cover with WrestleMania. We did that Undertaker-Batista match, you know, at Backlash, but this is just another good one. We got some players, all of these people, you know, are still, I won't say heavily involved, but at least involved in, you know, wrestling. And so I think there's a lot to talk about. And there was a lot that happened to lead up to this match that was good stuff. So just a lot of good reasons. Yeah.
I'm pumped, man. This will be a good one. We got so much to talk about. I'm ready to get into this one whenever you are.
Yeah, let's start it, man.
All right. It's time for the build.
Oh, it's time for the build.
All right. So Backlash, you know, I will tell you, I think it's interesting kind of the iterations of this show over the years. You know, I think there's been some good iterations of it and bad iterations of it. You could probably say that about just about anything in WWE. The good news is I think we're on the upswing. So all these different concepts, you know, whether it's the draft or it's Money in the Bank or it's Backlash or it's when you use the Hell in the Cell match, like all these things, I feel like a lot of our gripes have been heard, right? We've made Survivor Series better. You know, things like that. I like that, you know, on a calendar year, we're doing things a lot better. The other thing I find really interesting too, so you get into Backlash and then, you know, some of the pay-per-views after Backlash. I don't think we're going to have that post-WrestleMania lull anymore.
Nope.
And I say that for two reasons. Number one is Triple H is just doing a really, really good job. But the second thing is you can't. And you can't have it because you have a PLE in France. You have a PLE in Germany. You have a PLE, you know, a Saudi show. You have a Australia show. You have another Saudi show. You have a Toronto show. I mean, you know, you do these and it's like you have to put at least a killer main event on, but probably a card. So I just find that it being a fan this year is going to be better than it's ever been. It just, even if you say, hey, the Austin stuff was the best thing they ever did, or, you know, I'm a Hulkamaniac or whatever. Not that some of those moments were incredible, but you look at being a fan and it's just incredible. So this is 2006. It's April 30. We're at the Rupp Arena in Lexington, Kentucky. And we start off with a dark match. God, it's so funny that he's still wrestling, but Goldust defeats Rob Conway in 3 minutes. Show kicks off. And man, this show. Carlito defeats Chris Masters in 10 minutes. Umaga defeats Ric Flair in 3 minutes. Trish Stratus defeats Mickie James by DQ in 7 minutes. Another thing about the Triple H era, how many DQs or countouts were there at WrestleMania?
Yeah. I mean, just not clean finishes.
I just don't think they do that anymore. You know, I mean, like, I don't think AEW does either, which is great, right? Like, I mean, again, a TV match, fine. You do a run-in, I mean, it builds a story, but I love they're not doing that on pay-per-view anymore. Uh-huh. RVD is going to retain the Money in the Bank contract in an Intercontinental match against Shelton Benjamin. In 18 mm-hmm. minutes. Big Show and Kane go to a no contest in 9 minutes. Vince and Shane defeat Shawn Michaels and God in 20 minutes in a no hold barred match. And then we get our main event. Not a great era.
No.
Not a great time to be a fan.
Yeah, really weird. And that card was all over the place. You had all the way from like one star all the way up to like this match with like, you know, four and whatever it was. And so spoiler, but yeah, I like just kind of crazy. So this one though, excuse me, there was a lot happening is I like to say, you know, these guys are in each other's universes. Like that was how it was for this one. So but we'll rewind a little bit. Like, you know, Tom said this was the end of April, 2006, but we're going to go back a little bit. It was actually Triple H losing the Royal Rumble match. But then he was in the Road to WrestleMania tournament. If you remember this one, this was the,
I don't.
The winner would become the number one contender of the WWE Championship at WrestleMania. And so who is the time was held by Cena being in this match. So the participants in that one, you had Triple H, Ric Flair, Big Show, Shelton Benjamin, RVD, Carlito, Kane, and Chris Masters. The final ended up being Triple H, Big Show, and Rob Van Dam, because as you go down the bracket here, the Triple H, Big Show match was actually a double countout. And then Rob Van Dam beat Chris Masters. So you ended up with and this was just on the weekly shows, you know, through February, you had ended up with Triple H, Big Show, and RVD, and then Triple H winning that match. But then, of course, at WrestleMania, then at that point, you did have Cena beat Triple H to retain the title. So he did get that match. We got that. That was at WrestleMania 22. So then you start getting, you know, the weekly show, the Triple H, he wanted another title shot after that, but you had Edge and Lita, Edge making claim that because he became the champ at New Year's Revolution earlier that year, and cashed in his Money in the Bank, then, you know, that he won at WrestleMania 21, defeated Cena, that, you know, there was the Elimination Chamber as well. After Cena had won that, like, Edge felt like he should get a shot. So, really kind of leading up to that then is you had the three guys, well, I mean, the two, Triple H and Edge, kind of staking claim that they should get a shot at Cena's title. So, of course, as was the time in this era, we ended up getting some handicap matches between these three guys leading up to this Backlash match between the three of them. So you had Triple H actually pinning Cena after hit a pedigree. You had Cena forcing Edge to submit, and then you had Edge pinning Triple H after hitting him with a spear. And so after that series of matches is when it was announced that this would become a triple threat match at Backlash. And so no other kind of stipulations with that one, just a kind of triple threat. We're getting into it for the WWE Championship.
All right, so we are at the 2 hour and 19 minute mark of Backlash 2006, season 8, Backlash 2006. Are you ready?
Yeah, I got pulled up. Let's do this.
I said, are you ready?
We're ready. Yes.
How good was Steph, by the way, at WrestleMania?
Fantastic. I appreciate the rumors of, is she back? Is she not back? She's back. It doesn't have to be official. Like, she's back.
Yeah.
But I did read the reason that they did it, though, is because now they don't have to use Vince's intros on everything at WrestleMania. They have a Triple H recording and they have a Stephanie recording. So I think that's a good way to do it. And she's great at it. Like, let's be real. So, yeah.
I know. She is. All right. It's time for the payoff.
Ho! It's time for the payoff.
All right, so I see the title belt in the air, but I can't tell who's holding it because I can't see him, Jeff.
Yeah, well, it's not, I don't know if it's floating.
You see in what air. I did
I don't
there?
See anybody holding it? Yeah, nobody's holding it. It's floating in air. Spinner belt too.
There is that thing you see on Twitter all the time. That's like the three greatest champions of all time, and it's like The Rock and Austin talking or something, or maybe Hogan's in it too.
He's not on the phone. Yeah, that joke will never end.
No, I actually some of it's a little overplayed, but that one I actually think is kind of funny.
Yeah,
a weird like video wall, not even like a video strip above the ring. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's because the way the building is, it's interesting. They just had the Backlash.
Rupp Arena is, that's Kentucky. Yeah. Or that's University of Kentucky, the Rupp Arena. Yeah. So,
speaking of arenas, let me ask you this. What do you think of the, I'll just call it the limited set, but Raw, SmackDown, pay-per-views, there's no huge video wall. And potentially fans behind the entrance. What do you think of that?
So I had a couple thoughts on this. Is one, I thought that the WrestleMania set was great, but it also wasn't anything new. It didn't need to be anything new. The lettering, like the WrestleMania lettering, was reused from previous years, and so. Someone said too, you're never going to beat the roller coaster. You're never going to beat the, the pirate ship, stuff like that. And if you can't do it, like, that's okay. And I'm fine with that. But I do think that this, part of it is, I think that I appreciate them selling it, whether like, I bet you it's got to lower their production costs overall. Like, you don't have
which
to mess
I
with
believe.
That.
And I believe that's part of the Kevin Dunn thing. Was
yes, I do too.
TKO saying, look, we gotta cut some cost. And of course he said, I've been here for 40 fucking years and you can pound sand. And they said, no, we're gonna cut production costs because that's what we do for UFC, and it's worked out well. UFC doesn't have a set. They walk out of a curtain and it's a $6 billion company. So yeah, sorry, go ahead.
That was exactly my thought on that too. And I get a lot of that, they're selling it as, we want more fans to be able to see more. But to your point, exactly, like, look at UFC, it's a full arena. Like, how does it change the atmosphere, the environment when the camera, we always talk about the hard cam, all of a sudden, like, you have an arena full of people. You don't have to worry about those types of things. You can do all kinds of different things with productions. Like, we'll talk about those long entrance shots that they did at WrestleMania later, like some of the best camera work ever. But I think that part of it too is you and I look at StubHub probably more than the average person when it comes to wrestling tickets, because if they're at a weird venue, we always look it up just because we're curious. But like, they're now doing like that two, that section, like 202, that's like half behind the curtain of the Titantron and like the stage entrance. It's all limited seat obstruction. Like, all of a sudden, man, and they're selling out like these arenas. And so all of a sudden, if you could add, another 2,000 seats, maybe, 1,000, 1,500 seats, no more limited obstruction view, Like, yeah, of course they're going to do it. It's that much more merch. It's that much more gate sales. Mm-hmm. It's that much more for everybody. It's beneficial for everybody. The arenas get more benefit from it. And so I don't need, like, it is tough because, you know, we don't watch as much. So, like, some wrestlers, I don't know, like, you know, who they are. So I do need to see it on the screen. But they're doing way more of those. I've said this before, WrestleMania plus the weekly shows, especially, but WrestleMania, it is a TV program. It is built to be on television. And so I love when they're doing like those like 3D overlay graphics. Like, no, you're not getting that in the arena, but like, okay, give me that. Like, that stuff's really cool versus, you know, oh, someone's name splashed across a screen. Like, yep. You know, that's just how it goes. And so, yeah, I'm just all for something new. You know, yep. I think I texted you, like, you know, they talk about like PLEs and premium live events. Like, I texted you, like, no, it's the Paul Levesque era. Like, it's PLE. Like, that's what it stands for now, is we're getting all these things. And so, yeah, I'm all for some of this new stuff that they're doing. And I think it's great. How about you?
Yeah. I mean, I agree with everything you said. I'll add to it, you know, there is a slight downfall if you're there live and you have not a great seat and you want to look at the Titantron or they're doing a backstage segment. So there's a little bit lost if you're there. Okay. Mm-hmm. But you're not there every week. So, hey, you know, I went to a show and I didn't see the backstage segments, but I'll watch them on, you know, my DVR when I get home, and the other 51 weeks a year, I watch it on TV. So who cares? Yep. Adding those seats, and they're not the best seats because they're behind the stage, and they had the same thing at WrestleMania, right? But maybe they're really cheap. So now you've given people, they're like, look, I'm priced out of $100 a ticket for a family of four. But if for $25 a ticket, I can be behind the stage. They do that at concerts too. Like I sat one time and I forget who it was. I sat behind the stage and I'm like, well, this isn't as good as being, you know, in front, but it's also $50 instead of $500. So, mm-hmm. Hey, for $100, I have a couple beers and I'm behind the stage. Oh, this isn't so bad. You know, and they turn around and work the crowd a little bit. So it's fine. So it's another option. It's a, you know, hey, I'm going to spend $1,000 and be on the floor. Great. I'm going to take a family of four and spend $50 a ticket and be 15 rows behind the stage. Okay, that's fine too. It just gives access to more people. And I think that's what you want, is you don't want to price people out of this. And Nick Khan said it during a call. He said, you know, we don't really make money on the upper tiers, right? They're making money on these, like, and they're like, we can charge almost anything we want for those like $10,000 seats for both nights of WrestleMania plus some backstage stuff, right? So they've ramped up their premium offerings. That's where they're making their revenue. And they say, look, we want to jam people up top for $30 a ticket so that they get to experience it. And we're not ripping them off. We're not pricing them out of it. So I love that. Also, you're getting these camera angles and some of them, like the drone stuff where you're like outside the arena, then you're through the door, then you're into the arena. Jeff, I feel like I'm there. And that's always been the toughest part. Like, you know, I love going to these things. Obviously, it's expensive and it's tough to travel to all of them. And I get a little FOMO, but like I'm watching WrestleMania, I'm watching Raw, and I'm like, I feel like I'm there. And remember, that's only going to increase because eventually you're going to be able to watch this stuff on like your Apple Vision and you're going to have a truly immersive experience. So it's just going to continue to get better. So I think they're doing a lot right. I love it. I think you continue to lean into it. Triple H was, and it might've been with McAfee, but he was on a call and basically said, we've got a ton of stuff that we're going to roll out. We just didn't want to do it all at once. So you're going to start to see more and more of this, which I think is great. So we're kind of cooking here now in the triple threat. Cena had them both up for the AA. Edge comes off, hits Cena with a spear. So we got Lita ringside.
Too. So I was curious because Raw is actually going to be where I am in June. And so one of those seats that was like pretty much you are behind the curtain. It's in the corner, middle bowl, 102.
Are they selling them behind the set now?
Not yet for this one, but this one is practically like directly to the right of the set, $81. And it says limited or obstructed view, like plain and simple. And you and I were talking about this during Mania, a floor seat that where you and I like to sit on that aisle, kind of back a little bit, on the hard or opposite hard cam side. That section right now on a Monday Night Raw is currently going resale for $319. Like, that's insane. Like, we need to just start buying tickets and, fucking putting up on sale, because there's money to be made here. And so you got Triple H, Basher,
split. I mean, he is just
bleeding all over.
Busted open. There's blood all over his face, all over the table. I mean, as they say, hit it. Oh, God, just gushing out.
Yo, he is dripping. Yeah, that was a rough job.
They just, this era, like, they cut themselves. So DDT, does he call that the execution? What does he call that move?
I think so, yeah.
But it's like his pickup DDT. God, he is just
the Spanish table. Yeah, that's rough.
There's blood everywhere. Hey, what do you think of Edge's AEW run? Like
I was going to ask you about that too. Yeah.
When I see him on I like Edge a lot. I wish they would have retained him. I wish they would have had more for him. Edge versus Cody, sign me up for that. You could do Edge and Orton again. I mean, I felt like there was money in Edge. They did not. Obviously the guy was still willing to work, so I would have figured out something to do with him. I mean, Edge Rollins. Edge KO. I just feel like there was a lot still to do. Anyways,
yeah.
So I'm an Edge mark. I wish they would have retained him. I just see him in AEW, and it's like it just makes me sad. Like I see him trying to pump up the crowd, and I'm like, I feel like he I don't know the guy. Maybe he's having the time of his life, and he's so glad he's there. I just feel like he looks like kind of dead inside. I mean, you're working the camera to a side of the arena that there's no one at. I got to think it's tough. Two things. I think it has to be tough for any performer not in WWE to look at WrestleMania and not go, shit, man, it would have been cool to be out there. Mm-hmm. And then all the other stadium shows that they're going to do throughout the year. So that the other part of this is, with Triple H now, remember a lot of the Vince McMahon bullshit of, hey, things change at the last minute and I have no creative control and he's kind of a maniac to work with. That's all gone. So these guys now are like, I like working here. I mean, all the reasons why Sasha Banks is in AEW, it's not, she left a different environment. So I got to think some of these folks that, wanted to be in an alternative brand, have more creative control. I mean, you could argue CM Punk has more creative control in WWE than he had in AEW.
I think it's interesting too, because the one of the more glaring things that happened recently was when Sasha and Mercedes,
look at Triple H, man.
That's Crimson Mask. Yeah. Oh, bad. Oh, yep. He's covered
in blood from head to toe. You're going to see.
When Mercedes, she tweeted out, tickets still available, like come, I'll be at the show tonight. And then she didn't appear at the show. She was just in a backstage segment, like on the screen that could have been recorded at any time. Oh, big chair shot to the head there. And they're like, would you ever expect, like, is Sasha Banks in WWE to have to tweet out, hey, tickets still available, come to the arena? Like, it wouldn't happen. And so, we've all seen I'm glad Tony Khan was excited. They popped a rating when, they showed the CM Punk video, like, okay. Oh yeah. 16% increase. Like, dude, you went from 700,000 fans to 800,000 fans. Plus like your attendance numbers. I think I sent you that like average, like, WWE it's like 12, 13,000 and AEW's 2, 3,000. Like, yep. I get, like, the numbers aren't lying at this point. You know, and they had a rough time with that video and kind of putting that out there. I feel bad because, yeah, I think there is a lot of good wrestlers. I think some wrestlers, like if you see the door or like you feel that you could get out of there now and be successful, yeah, absolutely. And maybe it is like, okay, I work a little bit easier or lighter of a schedule depending on who I am and what I can do. I think Edge is in that boat that he can kind of, you know, pick and choose what he wants to do. He hasn't been on a premium or one of their pay-per-views yet. Which again, they're doing it again this year. I know you and I were texting about it. Back-to-back weekend premium live, or I'm not going to call them premium live events for them. It's a pay-per-view.
No, they're pay-per-views. You have to pay to view them.
It's two weekends in a row where you're paying pay-per-view money. So even if you say cheap $50, I don't know what the rate is right now because I'm not going to buy it. Of like $100 in two weekends, like why would I spend my money on that? Like nowadays, like you know, I need to get my money's worth. Like putting Subway. You got Triple H covered in blood now going for a pedigree and Cena kind of a bad kind of STFU or kind of rolling him back into an STFU and Triple H reaching for the
right. The worst, it's been a very good match. The worst submission move in the history of professional wrestling.
He's not even cranking back on it.
Yeah, he never does. Just, he never cranks back. Austin called it out years ago on his podcast. He's like, you got to get a little snugger than that, kid.
Yeah. Right. Just
Edge coming, climbing the top rope now. So, fantasy book, Cena's last run here. Does he get a championship run to break Flair's record? You know, what are we doing with him? Anyone that comes to mind for a final match?
So, all right. So full disclosure, as we do, I was in the bathroom and I was reading random articles.
Shit. Oh, wow.
Waterfall AA. Yeah. Suplex. Yeah. I was in the bathroom reading kind of two early WrestleMania predictions for WrestleMania 41. And one that I really liked, and there was the standard ones. It was like Bianca and Jade, Rock, you know, Rock Roman, and then there were Cody Punk, where's the big ones. But the one that really stood out to me that I thought was interesting was Cena taking out, and we don't know where he's going to be as of recording. We don't know where he's going to be. Cena versus MJF at WrestleMania 41. I do think
he'd
have taken a crazy shot, kind of landing on the chair. I the more I thought about it, it's like, we don't know if MJF's coming. He probably is. But I'll book it as if he is. That, okay, you've got your mega face, and who better to, like, you know, get the crowd behind him as a heel than him working with Cena. Yeah. Triple H still is gushing blood. Like, he is.
I mean, bigger blade jobs I've ever seen. I mean, this is one of the bloodiest faces you'll ever see. It's unbelievable. Yeah, and they were doing this every month, so it just completely ruined it.
Yeah.
All right, so he's got the sledge.
Yep,
yeah, good. So, okay. I like the MJF thing.
I don't think Cena will get another title run. I don't know if he necessarily wants that. I think that he could be in some title matches to help. Maybe he puts over Braun or something like that, or Braun Breaker. Or, you know, maybe, you know, he does something to help. I think Cena would absolutely do that younger guy role. He's done it before for Bray before he passed away. You know, help kind of put somebody over. He has said he wants one more run, you know, before, you know, especially with WrestleMania. He's still got it. You know, I think that he could go, you know, I think, is it a dream match to get Rock and Cena? No, I don't want that. We've had it's beyond time for that. We had Edge holding the sledgehammer now. But also I wonder, like, we had a lot of callbacks. Oh, low blow there too from, Triple H. Could be getting close to the end here. We had a lot of callbacks in that WrestleMania match. 10 years in the
making.
Wow. Whoa, yeah. Cena kind of reversing Triple H there to get the pin. Yikes.
Oh, I love it. The finish was he rolled up Triple H for the win. Cena did. That's a finish that I'd like to. I mean, I know you don't want to do it too often, but I like that finish once in a while. It's the Brett Davey boy SummerSlam 92 finish.
It's out of nowhere.
I, I, Yeah, I like that out of nowhere without a finisher. I mean, you know, I Savage beat Flair with a small package at WrestleMania 8. Brett beat Austin and Piper with that reverser of a sleeper hold. So I like that finish a lot, especially if it's not a blow off. Like, I mean, now you've got, you know, Triple H attacking everyone, and so it makes a lot of sense to me. So yeah, I like that. I thought it was really, really good match. Really good triple threat. Obviously, sometimes they're clunky, but yeah, Triple H kicking some ass. We'll keep this on as we move on. But let's get into the aftermath.
Ho! It's time for the aftermath.
What'd you think?
That was great. I think it keeps, like, Triple H just throwing the DX chop up. Like, you know, it keeps everybody strong. Like, nobody looks bad in that one. Yeah, just overall, this was really good. The blood is, I say it's a little much, but that's just because we're just not used to it. But I think, yeah, he cut pretty deep on that one. That's a stitches one right there. But overall, like, that was a really good match, just how they played that out. Yeah, absolutely. How about you?
I loved it. I mean, I thought, it was kind of good the entire way. It was, they were moving quick from the beginning, and then it really got cooking on the back half. And I thought that was really well done. I liked it. I mean, I liked it a lot. Really liked the finish. I thought that I was not expecting that. So I liked the finish a lot. Yeah, I'm happy with it.
Yeah.
So where do we go from here? So, because Triple H is kind of walking out with, you know, looking the strongest despite not winning.
Yeah, so there was an interesting just a lot of interesting stuff here. So I'll kind of go reverse order here. What I have on my notes of Edge. Edge actually, he went back to feuding with Mick Foley. There was a triple threat hardcore match with Tommy Dreamer. And, you know, just a couple of course, we had the flaming table spot as well too that we can't forget. You ended up having Foley betraying Dreamer with Edge, and then that, you know, they had a match at WrestleMania. There was just so he really Edge really feuding with some of the ECW people. And so One Night Stand, of course, you had Edge, Foley, and Lita beating Tommy Dreamer, Terry Funk, and Beulah. That was an Extreme Rules tag match in that one. But then we get a little bit later in that match, later in that evening on that show, you actually had Cena feuding with Rob Van Dam at this point too. Rob Van Dam, the holder of the Money in the Bank briefcase or contract at that point, and so saying he was eventually going to cash in, which he did. Kind of some back and forth here. Paul Heyman was involved, and where Van Dam was drafted to ECW. So you had that. And then you had Cena losing the championship to Rob Van Dam in an Extreme Rules match, which, like I said, Edge interfering in that match between the two of them. And so Van Dam winning the title, he speared Cena through a table. And so getting the win on that one. Triple H, you actually had the McMahons and the Spirit Squad at this point. Can't forget about the Spirit Squad. They were feuding with Shawn Michaels. Having a little bit of back and forth there too. You had Triple H. He was actually supposed to be a member of the Kiss My Ass Club at this point, but then giving the pedigree, laying out Shane. And so you ended up having Triple H getting booked in a handicap gauntlet match against the Spirit Squad, which you had Michaels return from injury, storyline injury, which had Triple H and Michaels reforming D-Generation X at that point. And then at Vengeance, you had them taking on the Spirit Squad 5-on-2. And who won that one? D-Generation X. So there you go. So good stuff. PWI for this year, 2006, you had Triple H. I'm working reverse here. Triple H 21 feels high. Edge number 3, Cena numero uno. Way to go. So Congrats. This match, or rather this card overall, was really not well received, which makes sense.
I wonder why.
Yeah, for the most part, it was in the middle. There was more 33% thumbs down to 26% thumbs up. The best match poll was this match, though, by pretty much a long shot, followed by that RVD Shelton Benjamin match. switches here. The Observer on this one, saying the show was a mixed bag. Triple H, Cena, and Edge was, if anything, better than expected, and possibly Cena's best match. Cena retained. Triple H was put over as the biggest star with a strong push for his imminent babyface turn. It was great action. A few innovative spots, including Cena teasing a spot where both were on his shoulders for the double FU. He didn't actually do it. He has done it since. Biggest star, leaving both men and the referee out cold in the middle while he was celebrating the music, covered in blood, with an Austin-like style babyface script as the show went off the air. And Edge still wasn't pinned, giving him a valid gripe for still being a contender. Yep, and then just kind of back and forth. Good execution, and Triple H came out of it as a big star even while losing, and Cena gets a longer run as champ while he's the big draw. 4.25 stars. So, Tom, what are you thinking on this one? What's going to be your payoff score?
So I'm a 7.5. I really liked it a lot. I thought great match, great storytelling, plenty of places to go following this. You got a clean-ish finish, but still more to go. Yeah, big fan of it. How about you?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I am right there with you. I think the amount of it, just nowadays, the amount of blood was kind of a turnoff for me. So I'm going to give it a 7, but I still think it was a great match overall, though. And so if anything, I was distracted by the blood. I was kind of watching that versus, you know, parts of the match that I should have been watching. And so, but I mean, still very, very good, plain and simple.
Well, it's funny. It's funny how you look at blood now. It's funny how you look at chair shots to the head now.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Like, it just doesn't hold up as well as it used to. And so we still get it. I'm not going to say I don't want to see it, but also, like, I get if they do it every once in a very long while. But and they're, okay, if you're the wrestler that wants to do that, like, all right, tell your story. So but overall, really good stuff. So, of course, I want to remind everybody, make sure the weather's getting a little bit warmer now. The season's changing. And so please make sure you go to that manscaped.com using our promo code payoff. It's getting you 20% off, as always. We're right about that time, too, where we're going to need to get a new code here, because we usually end up on those websites that, you know, leak us out and stuff like that. And so, but payoff, that's your code right now. Make sure you're using it. 20% off, free shipping, everything. Load up your cart, make sure you're looking great, especially with the warm or the weather changing. We want everybody looking their best. And so, yeah, let's make sure you're taking care of yourself and doing that, a little manscaping. Other than that, what do we got next week? What am I looking at here? Judgment Day. All right, I'm all right with that. That should be good.
This is going to be a good one. I'm looking forward to this.
Yes, a not quite not main event on this one, but still should be a very good show. And it's been a while. It's a Hell in a Cell match, and it's been a while since we've had one of those, so it should be exciting.
Well, appreciate everyone listening. We'll see you next week inside the Hell in a Cell on the Payoff.